All right, everyone. Welcome to the first Papa's Basement in 3 weeks, something like that. It's been a minute.
What's going on with you, man?
Oh, Howard Flood. Look, it's only been 5 years, 10 years, and one of these days I'll.
What is the fake name that you use on your show again?
Yeah, I'll use your pseudonym without a pause, without me mouthing the H to your real last name, Howard. Ha Flood.
Ha Howard.
Yeah. It's been a minute. For a variety of reasons. Real fast, we'll introduce the show. If you're listening to this, you already know what it is. You don't really need an introduction. It's a comedy show. We try to be funny. Remember, before Howard Stern was just celebrity interviews? That's what we are. That's it. It's really simple.
I think we're a little like Nanette, right? We're not always funny. Sometimes we get serious. Is that how the show works? No?
I have short hair and glasses, so I am Nanette-like in that regard. And yes, if she's suffering currently from lesbian bed death, then she and I are having the same amount of sex.
Yeah, that's about right from what I gathered. You haven't seen it yet, though, have you?
I have not seen Nanette, and we will talk about Nanette. I think half of the appeal of that special, a Netflix special, we'll talk about it later, actually at the end of the episode of Nanette, is just saying Nanette and getting to accent it in odd ways. Nanette, you know, you do whatever. It's not exactly a word or a name, whatever the hell it is, that we have so much over here. Is it a Tasmanian thing? Nanette. Whatever. That's a bunch of BS. I've been off the... We haven't done a show in about 3 weeks. And...
Was I on that episode?
The last one, I believe so.
Oh, wow. Okay.
You were there. Really, really memorable stuff.
How do you do anything without me?
What's that?
How do you do anything without me?
I don't, clearly. Yeah. I've had nothing without you, because in the span of these 3 weeks, the studio was shut down 1 week.
That's right, yeah.
So that boned us on one of them. Travis, who's been on a lot of our shows lately, and I kind of viewed as something of a co-host along with you, has no joke been missing since, I think, June 26th.
Huh.
In the sense that I cannot get a hold of him, and he has not posted online, which means he's dead.
I thought you said he was on vacation. Did he go on vacation with the fam?
I remember him mentioning vacation, but at a certain point, you have to think he died on that vacation. Like, I'm sorry, what kind of millennial isn't on his phone 24/7? He's not a dude who, like, went off, you know, onto Walden Pond or something.
Right.
And is, like, putting his thoughts together. Like, he's a sports guy. He lives for the Nats. He's streaming on that phone. He's, you know, his last Facebook updates were all posts related to a poker app he's been using. This is a man who lives on his electronics.
Oh, yeah.
So the fact that he hasn't done anything in a couple of weeks, like...
Okay, the last time we got together with him, he was showing me this poker app.
Yeah.
You really might just be playing poker. It is that addictive.
No, his poker app feeds to Facebook, though. And it's like, Travis is king of hold'em.
Oh.
And just puts crap like that out like every 6 hours while he's playing, legit kind of letting us know he's still in there. He's still, you know, bumping around the matrix, which is why I'm terrified that we haven't, again, June 26th, I believe, is the last time Travis Dorwood's Facebook has had a damn thing posted to it. After, I mean, the first week or two, I was kind of like clowning him, and I was like, hey, talk to me.
So can I say the date that we're recording? Because what, today is the 10th, 11th?
10th, I think. Let me look.
It's the 11th.
11th, yeah.
His last post, so July 1st.
Oh, his last was July 1st on something?
Yes.
Okay, so 10 days. I'm sorry, I'm a working man, Howard, unlike this little miscreant. So the thought of just jerking it for 10 days is baffling to me. I would be bored. I'm about to do a couple days up in New York, and the thought of not working for 4.5 days has me crawling up the wall. Not to say I'm some sort of, like, you know, I'm not getting lowered into the coal mine every day and blackening up my lungs. I'm not that level of work. I work like 5-6 hours a day typically, but it forces me to, it keeps me from having to look into my soul.
Okay.
You know, and I'm desperate for that. I don't want to have to do any real introspection, because introspection has gotten really painful and weird for me lately, because in the last couple of weeks, We've lost Travis, RIP, but I've also stopped being as depressed. Like, culmination of, like, months of work with a shrink and taking a couple different supplements.
Really? What supplements are you able to disclose those on air?
Yeah, it's not like I'm, you know, code for cocaine and boner pills or something.
Okay.
I've been on Samy for years now.
What is that?
I don't know, really.
That's over the counter. That's
it's
like
over the
weird...
counter via Costco.
Okay.
One time, I've shown it to multiple doctors whenever they want you to disclose everything you're taking every day, and
they laugh in your face.
No, all of them are just like, I've never heard of this. And then one woman was just like, oh, that's the active in that? That's incredibly powerful. And a smart man would have been scared. But I was like, good, better be. Getting my money's worth. That stuff's like 30, 50 cents a day in that range. So I was really happy to hear that. I was really happy to hear I'm taking something that could interact with Christ knows what on God knows how many levels. So I'm on Samy, and then I went on eBay and got some sort of just L-thymine or some junk, something that's supposed to boost your dopamine production.
Chinese dick pills?
Pretty much, yeah. Okay. I pay a small Asian village to kill a rhino for me once a week, grind up its horn.
And now I feel amazing. It was worth it. Hashtag worth it.
Yeah. And then I massage the cream into my prostate. And yeah, I've got a jungle gym down there, just rod-like. So I'm on those two things, and between that and talking to the shrink and maybe the weekly travel that I've been doing the last, Jesus Christ, 9 weeks now to New York for my Upright Citizens Brigade class, I'm literally in clown college.
Yeah.
Something about it has all come together. That and no money problems, knock on wood. I've just jinxed myself. I just found a pilonidal cyst back on my ass where I had two chopped out a couple months ago. So there's $500 down
the
crapper.
That's what the people at home want to hear about.
Oh,
talk
yeah.
more about the sebaceous cyst on your butt crack.
Pilonidal. Get it right. Sebaceous is what's under my armpit.
Yeah. Oh, do you have one under your armpit too?
I have these weird cysts on my flanks, kind of. That, but I can get them in my pit too. Yeah, and I'm like, oh my god, I've got titty cancer.
I've got one under my armpit, and what's odd is my wife's best friend is a doctor.
Yes.
And whenever we're drinking together, I keep saying to her, hey, would you take a look at the sebaceous cyst under my arm?
Uh-huh.
Is there any way that you could just cut it open for me? You're a doctor, right? And it's just a matter of time before we're both drunk enough to think that's a good idea. I'm pretty certain.
You should play it that way because it's well. Who wants to pay? Who wants to pay into what we have as a medical system in this country? That's part of what's had me down on a deeper level. That's what I'm trying to say here. I've worked out of my low-level depression where I'm like, my life stinks. I'm kind of okay with my life, but
right.
that allows you to then see that the world sucks. And part of it is American healthcare. We'll get to all that.
Oh, wow. You've been thinking about... like America's problems.
Big
now
stuff.
That you're
yeah.
moving past your
yeah,
own.
I'm okay. I'm still living at home, still overweight, but I'm good. I'm worried about America and the world now.
Oh, okay. Great. This is going to be an uplifting episode.
Yeah. I want this episode to sound like I'm on acid right now. So far, so good. No, your wife's friend, the stitching is going to be the messy part, honestly. That and you're going to think you're like Civil War level drunk to get your armpit bone sawed open, and the instant she actually sinks like a butcher's knife into your armpit, you're going to be like, holy crap, I am nowhere near drunk enough for this. And you're half Korean, which makes you booze blood prone anyhow, so you're just going to be spraying like Mortal Kombat style. And then you'll realize quickly it was a bad idea, and yeah, you should pay. Go and get that done. I got my desisting a couple months ago. I liked it up until I regrew one.
Yeah, no, that's the thing they always tell me whenever I'm like, what would it take to get that removed? And they say, well, it's probably going to come back, so do you really want to pay for it in the first place?
I mean, for me, I do, because the pilonidals, I couldn't do sit-ups, I couldn't do bench.
Yeah,
like, they really
rough.
Hurt. And
that's
if they
rough.
Were, you know, weeping, I couldn't get a table shower at the various brothels I frequent. I'm kidding about that part, to some degree. I took the showers anyhow. That's the part I'm kidding about. Yeah, so that's what's been going on, and I've kind of been thinking about the nature of this show too. I've been very existential lately, you know, not just drowning my pain in like carbohydrates and watching Netflix day in day
that's
out.
That's good, man. Yeah, you've got a big enough brain to spare a little power to help solve some of the problems facing this country.
Yeah.
Can I volunteer to put your name on a ballot initiative in the upcoming years? Would you like to run for local office?
You know who asked that? My shrink.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Why would they ask you that? I was just joking.
I don't know. I guess they know me well enough, unlike you, to know that I'm here to change the world now. No, I've been thinking, what the hell is this show about that we've done for 10 years now? You and me, a majority of them.
I have been around since season one for spurts at a time. I'm an on-again, off-again co-host.
You're like Bob Kelly and Louis, if Louis made it 10 seasons.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll put it this way. Like, deep down inside, I'm both trying to see a way for you to actually make it, and then the thought of this actually going somewhere horrifies me in that, like, someone could go back and listen to some of the garbage I've said on your show.
I've been falling on a lot of grenades just to make you seem like a saint by comparison. I'm not nearly as bad a person as I make myself out to be on the show. What I'm really worried about is you and your kid.
What are you talking about?
Nothing. I'm just...
Yeah, all right.
I am that big a piece of crap. Yeah, the episodes where you're gone, I say even worse stuff.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's just, hey, listen, the way I look at it, I play a character on your show.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I use the other name, because it's not me. I'm this other person.
Yeah.
So.
I play the character of John Papagiorgio.
Exactly. We're two characters on microphone right now.
I mean, to be honest, there is some level of acting here. You're not joking around. I don't talk this much normally.
Yeah, fair.
I just watch and eat.
But I think this persona would be amazing as a candidate for public office.
Yeah, he's pretty chatty, isn't he?
You should definitely we're going to work on this. We're going to find something.
Candidate Papagiorgio.
Like, what would be hilarious is, since you're so ADHD, I think you could run for clerk of court.
Clerk of court?
Yeah, I think that's an office. We live in Virginia, for those of you who forget from time to time or who may have not heard
this. Do our characters
recently
live in Virginia as well?
Well, yes.
Okay.
And that's because we can actually use your character to get on a ballot.
Okay.
And it would be ridiculous if someone with your lack of organization were somehow, like, the head of...
Clerk of court.
Yeah.
It sounds like a Kenny Rogers song, but I'm just thinking Coward of the County.
Oh, who wants to be the clerk of court? It sounds like a horrible job. I'm like, really? People run for that? Why?
I don't know what the hell that is, but it sounds like, who likes court? Who likes clerking? Of is neutral. I'll give it that.
No, it's like the double whammy of boringness. It's like, in addition to laws, which are boring, you have to be organized, which is even worse.
I can't do that. Good God. I forget I'm wiping halfway through. 10 minutes later, I'm like, why am I so itchy back there? Yeah! Let's get to the rest of this story. No, man, I've been thinking of, first of all, developing a new verbal crutch, which is apparently no man, because I think that's about the fifth time I've said that in the last 8 minutes. So that's good. Glad I grew that, like my new pylon idol cyst.
I think part of that is, like, we have a new setup because we're recording at your house since we couldn't get studio time.
Yeah.
Sitting across from you feels kind of weird. I don't like it. We're kind of staring at each other like my dinner with Andre or something. Yeah.
That's true, yeah.
It's a little intense. I'm just like, man.
It's like I'm trying to psych you out during a game of Limp Bizkit. Just unbroken eye contact. Like, can you stay hard? Can you stay hard pupil to pupil? Because that makes you gay, man.
I feel more like we're about to arm wrestle, and I'm like, what's the holdup here? Like, why is this taking so long?
What was that Stallone arm wrestling movie?
It's so good. Oh, it's the guys who did there's a documentary on Netflix about them.
Oh,
Electric Boogaloo.
Really?
Yeah, it's absolutely amazing. Because they had that shoestring production company that pioneered independent film in Hollywood.
No kidding.
Yeah. Because, like, they just made all these, like, horrible, cheap movies.
So a company called Electric Boogaloo made...
That's the name of the documentary.
That's the doc. Okay.
Yeah. They took the title of the documentary from...
From Breakin' 2.
Breakin' 2, Electric Boogaloo, yes.
Which has been parodied into oblivion.
Because Breakin', the original Breakin', was, probably their magnum opus.
Okay.
I think it was... Because they just knew that, oh, breakdancing is awesome right now. We have to get there first.
It's
we
hot.
Have to make that first movie.
We're going
to
make a movie without a ridiculous title. Just Breakin'. Describe what's in here. I think it's even like an apostrophe.
Yeah.
Like, the middle name of Michelle Nadeglicello, or whoever that lady was, who existed back in 91. And, yeah, then they're like, Breakin' 2. How do we make this stand out? The 2 isn't enough. And then...
Hands down, one of the best things I've seen on Netflix. Electric Boogaloo.
Electric Boogaloo.
Because apparently Deanna Troi from Star Trek.
Oh, Marina Sirtis?
Yes, she was topless in many of their films. They did a lot of smut because they knew, like, how do we get people to show up at the theater?
Marina Sirtis might be up there all-timer for me. Like, just Greek broad, huge cans.
Yeah.
And the British accent. That's a lot going on, man.
Because their claim to fame, I forget the name of the company now. I'm sure everybody can look this up. But what I do remember, my favorite part of the whole like story, is that they paid for the rights to the sequels to Death Wish. So basically, Death Wish was a serious movie when it came out.
The first one, yeah.
And then it's just suddenly weird where it's like, why are there 2 through 5 that are these like campy, bizarro world? Like, let's just slay minorities and not make it seem racist.
For the people that don't know Death Wish, and they have
a remake now with Bruce Willis
one that supposedly wasn't that bad, but
it's probably like the first one again, which was more of like a serious commentary on like crime in the 80s.
Exactly. The first one was very, like you said, a serious film where Charles Bronson, some bad stuff happens to his family, and he's this real like dye-in-the-wool liberal living in New York City, I believe, and he's like, screw it, I'm gonna get mine, I'm gonna do like what the Punisher did.
Yeah.
And you see him kind of going out as a mark into various parks at night and then like shooting people that try to assault him, and like the first time he does it, he then like vomits, you know, he's like, I killed a man. But by like 2 through 17 or wherever they stopped it, like he's just dusting mother after left and right. I mean, it's like Rambo part 2 and 3. I mean, it's nuts. And it lost any sort of like moral center that the first one had. And yeah, you're right. Marina Sirtis is in like part 3 or something like that, and I think gets raped and killed. She's like, at this point, I think his entire family is dead. So he's like, oh, it's my niece, Boo Boo.
Right.
She got killed. Now I have to kill a Blackie.
Right. Yeah. It's just it went from serious to camp because they bought the rights to the series, figuring Charles Bronson's really popular after the first one.
Mm-hmm.
We should just totally exploit his popularity as an actor. So they had him signed to a big contract and Chuck Norris.
Oh boy.
Cause what were his series? It was Missing in Action. Was that it?
I always thought of Chuck Norris as like low rent compared to Schwarzenegger as a kid. Like kid, I was a snob,
but they basically pioneered the massive contract, which is why, like, for those of you who are unaware, Sylvester Stallone was in a friggin' movie about arm wrestling. Cause they offered him what was then, I believe, the richest contract ever for an actor in a film.
God.
And like, all the critics were
over
confused.
The top or at the top or some junk like that.
Why would you pay Sylvester Stallone the richest film contract ever to arm wrestle? Like, if you're going to do an action movie. This is just dudes arm wrestling.
Just action.
What is this?
From the elbow onward. just rippling biceps and grimacing. It's hard to do a lot of varieties of shots when it comes to that. Like a martial arts film. Like I'm thinking Kickboxer, like Van Damme and Bloodsport. Like that's in a ring and the same ring, but at least it's like different fighters. They're moving around. There's some sort of, this is literally, guys grimacing like they ate 4 pounds of cheese curds and they're trying to work it through their bowels.
Although now I think about it, I saw this before the Me Too movement really popped up, and like they are described in the documentary as being the people who set the stage for the Weinsteins and Miramax.
Why? They were brutal rapists.
They were perverts, but okay. I think on camera, not off.
Oh, well, that's lighthearted.
Yeah, then...
Because, I love Marina Sirtis. I believe you see her jugs in like Death Wish 3 or 4, but like I think only during the autopsy or only like when they're zipping her up in the body
bag.
I don't
remember, yeah.
Yeah. Oh no, I definitely downloaded like those stills. You know how that is. You can be like Marina Sirtis nude scene Death Wish X, and then you get like just a picture that's kind of like a summary of like a couple of stills. And I believe like there's one of like her boobs being whipped out by the assailants ripping her top open, and then you just see her cans again. As she's like either getting like, you know, the autopsy done or getting put in the body bag.
That is a weird jump cut.
Yeah.
That is a weird jump cut. I don't remember that, but yeah, they were that campy.
Weird thing to beat to as a kid as well. You're like, look, she's not really dead. She's not really dead. I'm normal. Not forming any weird kind of connections here mentally. And
now the people at home know how this show came to be.
Yeah, exactly. My spinoff program, Coming on Gravestones, Coming on Marble, coming this fall. So I've been thinking about the show because we took a couple weeks away from it, and I wasn't feeling all that bad, to be quite honest. I was like, who gives a damn? Who really cares?
So what's happening with the show? Anything you can tell the audience at home?
I want to do something a little more organized, not going to lie.
All
something
right.
a little more premeditated than just us beating it into the mics. And I want a much better video component than just our crappy little webcam feed that we then throw on YouTube after the fact. We're going to get some sexy cameras.
I mean, ease up here, because you and I have been talking about this off air for a while now. And I agree with all that. It's not that hard to do.
No,
but
this
we
isn't
just
the time for
it.
Easing up. We're going to hire the grease man. You didn't let me finish.
But So you got this back and forth to New York, and then we're going to work on this, right? Because
I am done after this week with New York.
Okay.
My ass apparently was done a couple weeks ago, because as I've mentioned five times, I've grown a new cyst on my ass from all the sitting I've done going to New York. I can't do it.
Right.
I guess the human body cannot do it. I suppose you can drive, and car seats are 1,000 times nicer than bus seats, which are just concrete with a rug on top.
Ugh.
They're horrible. And I've had to dehydrate myself because, God forbid, you use a bus toilet.
Oh my gosh.
There's nothing more disgusting in the business.
I feel so bougie because whenever I go to New York now, I'm like, nope, train.
Oh,
that's the only way I do it.
You honky mother. You white bastard. Nope. I'm on the bus. I'm on the broke man bus.
Dude, you're almost like 40 at this point. I mean, you're almost like 30 at this point.
Yeah, exactly. Talk more, Tinder profile of mine. What apartment do I live in downtown D.C.?
Oh, man. All right, so...
I don't know. I mean, trust me, I can tell you from dealing with my immediate family, being old does not money give you. You can be old and broke. Very broke.
That's fair.
Part of why I've been thinking about why this country is such a toilet, and it is. I'm sick of saying much to the contrary.
So I guess where do you want to start with this? Because I think part of when I've talked to
America.
You about it is when you go to New York and you go to UCB. Do you feel comfortable talking about that on air, about how going to UCB and listen to the types of jokes that people are telling in downtown Manhattan about this Trump America? What does that tell you about where our country is?
Oh, we're broken. I'm a pessimist. But, like, I feel we're hopelessly divided unless we meet in person. And then almost 80 to 90% of the people that disagree with me politically that I meet in person, I get along with fine. Because guess what? People are people. But in terms of what new media is letting us do and the internet, we plug into our own little cults. That we literally are just making programming for ourselves in a little bubble. And whatever we disagree with, we're like, no, I don't like that. No. And that's it.
Have you come up with a solution? Because the term I've heard thrown around lately is confirmation bias.
I thought you were going to say mass euthanasia.
But we all have this tendency towards confirmation bias, right? Like, you have to fight that tendency that
very much so.
Has.
Yeah, confirmation bias being whatever you believe in, you're looking for things that then,
confirm
that
the world,
confirm.
The Earth is flat. Is a great example.
What is it with black athletes on the flat Earth? They love that stuff, man. Like, I don't like that flat Earth is, like, the Earth being round is now a conspiracy to be debunked, because we've gone down the rabbit hole there. There was legit an offer on Reddit, probably maybe the hot wife requests, because this is what I frequent. Women who are offering giving head, and then women who are in polyamorous relationships offering more than just head. And one woman posted, this was a verified profile, and she said, I am a flat earther, my husband's a flat earther, and you can plow the S out of me only if you are a flat earther. And I mean, she was a smoke show. And I was just thinking, like, I would in a heartbeat. You would too, right? Like, you would just...
To say I'm a flat earther?
Just to ball this... chick, this guy.
No, I really wouldn't. Oh, yeah.
I would. It'd be a game to me. Because as soon as you nut, like, as you're finishing, you're like, the Earth is round! The Earth is round!
Oh, man.
Scream the name of Copernicus and then throw the rubber in his face and then get the hell out of the room.
Oh, my gosh.
I... I mean, there's so much I hate on both sides. There's so much I hate on both sides, dude. Like, if we're talking what I hate in New York, just the trying to out-liberal each other circle jerk that city is. The time I spend at UCB, like, I'm not going to get into specifics because some of these people are my classmates and stuff like that.
Right.
But there's... This is going to make me sound like that white guy, and that's fine, because I guess I am that white guy. But I know that they just have minority scholarships where a friend of mine, a black girl I was in class with for 101. I'm in 201 now because I'm smart. That's kind of head in clown college. She was explaining that she gets like 2 free classes a year because they just don't have black people or people of color around to even apply for this scholarship. So she gets like 2 $450 classes for free a year. She's my friend, so I don't begrudge her that. Like, I'm happy someone I know is getting something.
Right.
But it's weird. That was slightly weird to hear. And you also get the vibe that if you're especially like the white dude with a paunch and a beard and glasses at UCB, you are just the toilet paper of that place. They have no need for you. You are in such abundance. You have to work so hard to get any sort of recognition. But if you're like, yes, I'm Brazilian, I'm transitioning, they're like, my God, would you like to be an Anchorman 3? Because we'll make it happen.
Okay, I'm glad you brought this up, because now we're talking as there's another nominee for the Supreme Court out. Kavanaugh, right? Is that his name?
Kavanaugh, yes.
So... I've been reflecting back on the last few of these nominees, where it was Gorsuch before, and then under Obama, you had...
Garland.
Well, before Garland. Let's not talk Garland. Well, we'll bring up Garland, because Garland's an old white guy.
Yeah. But
Garland's nomination came after Kagan, white lady. I guess the emphasis there is lady. But then Obama got the twofer on identity politics with Sonia Sotomayor.
Yes.
The wise Latina. As so many senators complained.
Yes.
She had once described herself.
Which Matrix was she in? She was the captain of some ship, right?
So, again, full disclosure, my day job, I'm an attorney, and I work in a field where Sotomayor has been very influential. Basically, like, yeah, I've done some stuff to help Indian tribes, which she's big on helping Indian tribes.
Okay.
I think it's had a major impact on what I do, having... someone with Native American blood in some measure.
Mm-hmm.
She's not Native American, but, you know, basically if you're, like, at all part Latin American, you can trace yourself back to, like, a native, like someone who was Los Indios, whatever.
That's
right?
Why literally none of them can drink without getting stabbed.
But again, like, on the left, there's this feeling, which I agree with, that it's nice to have some diversity to add something to the mix, and that, yes, there is a benefit of pointing out, hey, this is high demand. There aren't a lot of people trying to do this job who have this background, so I kind of want you to cut in line where other people might feel like maybe Merrick Garland would have been the better choice up front.
Yeah.
In hindsight.
No, it's a true debate, and I'm not here to say really one is right or wrong.
It highlights...
murky.
The divide where on one side, I don't even really question it. I'm going to take the lefty on this where I'm just like, hey, it's great. There haven't been that many women on the Supreme Court. I'm glad Obama did that. But now I look back at it and it's just, well, now we have a new president who nominated 2 white guys. But when I look at those 2 white guys and think about why we even have this president in the first place, I think from the right, from what I can tell, a bunch of people are kind of like you with your experience being like, oh, crap. There's a bunch of other heavyset white dudes trying to make it at UCB. And
it does suck. It does suck.
It sucks as black chick just gets to take
it
free
does
classes.
Does suck. There's legit a gay-friendly class that's kind of just like a pipeline if you're gay or trans to just get stage time. And at some point, you're like, well, do I lie about sucking dick?
So, yeah. I guess it's kind of this like weird place now of we don't even talk about that. Where people can't just openly talk about, like, hey.
Oh, yeah, because, I mean, I'm Hitler part Jew, just for saying, like, hey, this is worth talking about. I'm not exactly against it. I know where they're coming from. They want some diversity because it is a bunch of white guys with beards. But as a white guy with a beard, at some point, you're like, Well, A, my money's green. B, you took said money. And C, like, I thought we were just trying to promote the funniest of the funny here.
I guess that's possibly the difference with, well, I don't think it's that difference between, sometimes it's weird that what you do and, like, what I do can overlap as far as, it's more about what the audience wants.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as, in fairness to the capitalist running UCB, they've already got, like, a nice stronghold on putting out Kevin James and, like, you know, the whole line of comedians who've been rocking the, like, overweight, like, funny white guy.
Yeah.
That market is set and established. They're trying to expand their market to reach new audiences that they haven't previously possibly captured.
No, and I know what you're saying. Yeah. It seems, I don't want to call it ham-handed, but it is a bit of a, if you build it, they will come philosophy. You know what I mean? You're just like, well, if we do like an all-black improv show, then black people will want to see improv. And I'm not saying that's not the case. Like, maybe that will attract a lot of black people, but maybe improv just isn't in the average black wheelhouse as well. Like, you can do whatever the hell you want. You're not going to get a lot of white people like in the DC go-go clubs. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
It's, we kind of can appreciate it from afar, but the thought of actually going there, you're like, you know.
I mean, all right, so I'm trying to flesh this out in my head. You're talking about improv shows that are being built for minorities that are underrepresented on TV.
Mm-hmm.
From the flip perspective, I did watch, so before he got Me Too'd, people are still questioning whether Aziz Ansari got Me Too'd at this point. I think we're not entirely sure.
Yeah, he got like Mead. He's halfway there.
Yeah, so I think with him,
he more than any other case, I feel we all suffered because we had to think of like him, that little smarmy crap, being like a player on the town, and then like jamming his finger in a girl's mouth. Like every,
yeah, it's weird.
Ounce
it's like,
of
what?
Him, yeah. God, I'd rather think of like Jackie Chan getting head. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, there's nothing sexual about Aziz Ansari. He's anti-sexual. Like, hearing that Aziz got easy ass like that, like, made me lose faith in womanhood. I'm like, I knew y'all would, but I didn't need to know. Like, God damn, you do? You do, you Jezebels? Look at him. Look at him.
I just, from his perspective as an actor who's been in the business for a little while, he did have an episode, I forget what season of Masters of None, talking about,
I think
like,
there's only two, right?
The stereotyping of being an Indian American trying to get a role.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't get to be, like,
oh, it's horrific.
The cool friend from college, you're always going to be,
oh,
like,
do you know how many roles Cal Penn talked like this?
Yeah.
And it's Cal Penn. He talks like you and me. But, like, God damn, what was it, Van Wilder, Malibu's Most Wanted, you know, two off the top of my head where, I am talking like this, you know, I must ask my auntie. Like, yeah, it's pretty much blackface, and I'm with you there. I mean, that's...
I think that's what UCB's trying to remedy right now, though, by, like, saying, hey, maybe there are some people of color who also went to elite Northeastern universities that want to do improv. Improv to me is like such a low form of entertainment. I'm sorry, but
it is. Oh God, that's the true thing. Your $450 buys you painful knowledge. just being like, what did I do this 8 weeks again? What's okay?
But I'm proud of you for doing it, man. It's like one of those stepping stones that most people who want to do comedy have to suffer through, from what I've gathered.
I'm only halfway through UCB.
But at least you've started. You're halfway through the process.
Yeah.
It took you a while to get started, man. I've known you for a while. Like, this is good. So going back to the whole idea, you're revamping the show, I think, once you get further into this improv world of whatever UCB may lead you to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you got other things going on at the other side. But, I mean, where are you with that process right now? Like, what are you thinking as far as, are you going to finish with UCB or...
I'm very torn on that, because if I'm going to get a new assist every 8 week class, that's another $500 of surgery on
yeah.
top of UCB. So I don't like that.
But you can remedy that by having a more comfortable travel and factoring in like the cost savings from having to get another surgery. There you go.
But the train would be $150 per week compared to the bus ticket, so I'm better off just growing a new assist and getting it chopped off.
That's so gross.
That's just math.
Ugh.
God. UCB is hard because I realized there are so many people that go through UCB thinking that it's going to give them a career, and it's just not. Like, you have to be in the top 1 of 1% to land anything through it, like, film-wise. Like, my current teacher, she's very attractive. She's very talented.
Right.
And, like, she's in some Funny or Die clips and crap like that. Like, she's nailing it all. Like, you were saying with Sotomayor being Latina and female. Yeah. My teacher's, like, I think mixed race, or, yeah, she's, like, half black or something and female, and she should be crushing it. You know, like, on paper, if I had to design someone who should get ahead, the only thing that I could give her that she doesn't have now is, like, she was born a dude. You know what I mean? then she's just nailing it on all fronts. Then if she's not getting those gigs, I'm like, what happened? Why aren't you trying? Because, yeah, she's attractive and talented and female and, you know, brown. So she should be crushing it. And I'm just none of those things. Talented marginally. give me that. It's a place where I guess you're there to network, and you do learn something of the craft of being funny. There
right.
are tricks I'm learning every week, and it's difficult, and doing something difficult, and then it ceases being quite as difficult each week. Or it's like any growth thing where, like, some weeks you crush it and you're like, oh, cool, I broke through, and then you eat crap for 3 weeks after that. You're like, okay, I suck still. I don't know, man. I don't know. From this distance, I don't think I can join any house team and get any recognition. Anyone who's gotten that far in that system, I think most of them, at least the bitter ones, will be like, just do it on your own. Just do what you want on your own. I guess.
But, I mean, that's what you're doing right here, right now. And I think the whole benefit of networking, do you think you're actually going to be able to, like, draw some people from the UCB experience to actually put them on the show?
Not after this episode.
Well, I think, all right. I'll put it this way. We've done it before. We did it with the football show. We just launched a new URL. I think, let's say we had another URL. Would you be willing to put some of the UCB people on that?
Oh, well, I mean, what audience am I trying to appeal to here?
Same audience as this one.
Is this like John's JOKKKES.com or something like that? Because that might not have the broadest of appeal.
Yeah, I don't think that's where you're going with this, man.
Not so much, no. There's not much hate in my heart. Only questioning. Only kind of bitching about my station in life. Yeah, I mean, I could get people, especially if I go up there. I mean, what I'm truly learning is beyond the show, which travels easily because I have this little recording mic that we're talking into right now, and I think we've concluded it makes for a pretty good sound.
Yeah, these chairs could be better, man, but that's more a problem with your dinner table than...
Oh, you mean, yeah, these chairs that are literally just plywood?
Yeah.
Plywood with wallpaper on top?
Yeah, no, this is rough, man. I might have to stand up in a minute.
Here, take this.
Oh, yes, thank you.
That's at least a little bit of cushion.
I need an ass pad.
Yeah, I bought a special cushion just because I legit was getting, like, spinal pain sitting in these things.
Yeah.
So I paid for the egg
or
something.
Oh, that's so much
better. Yeah, it's something. Oh. It's some sort of padding.
Are you sitting on, like, one of those donuts right now?
Not a hemorrhoid donut, but something similar.
All right.
Like, legit, I'm a geriatric that, like, by week 4 of the bus trips up to NYC, I was like, I can't take this. And I bought, like, a special cushion over at... not Bath and Body Works, one of those stores. I don't know. Bed Bath Beyond. There you go. And jinx, buy me a dick sucking. And it's helped a lot, but I think not in time to save me from getting a cyst chopped out of my ass. That's the show's refrain. Look, we're in a weird place right now with technology, where I think to try to chase fame through UCB isn't, I wouldn't call it foolhardy per se, but you might very well be better served learning how to simply make the content you want to do. Like, if your goal is to get famous and get discovered, then yeah, maybe UCB is the better fit.
All right.
You know, New York City, I'll give you that. But you should... for most of us, just be buying the cameras, filming your own content, doing whatever you want. Like, do you want to work as a porn star, Howard, or do you want to just jerk off on camera and be your own boss? Because, like, the internet allows the latter.
Yeah. I guess what I'm really getting at is, like, how are you going to network to find, like, a real co-host and not depend on that schmuck Travis or me, who just, like, how did you find me 20-some years ago at school? Like, that's not really, like, been the strongest part of your formula to date, so.
Oh, don't belittle yourself, sir. I know you can't commit to this hardcore, but you're talented.
Hell's
on
no.
air. Everyone likes you.
Admittedly, like, I do plan at some point to do a serious podcast on the law.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I that's why I have to do a comedy moniker. I have to have a pseudonym for this, because this is absurd, man. This is not my dream. This is yours.
I know, and I've sucked you into the jet engine of it.
Apparently, yeah. I think by, like, attempting to tank my professional career, like, this show will absolutely force me to...
No, I...
be on a comedy podcast for between now and when I qualify for Medicare.
I've done that. That's stage one of the campaign, and stage two, all over Alexandria, I've put up posters, like, that episode of Always Sunny where it looked like Dennis was a kid rapist, and it turned out it was Wendell Short Eyes, but it was posters of someone that looked exactly like him. I've just put that all over Alexandria, and yeah, they might look like you, might look a lot like you.
Sounds a lot like our 500th episode of this show.
Yeah.
Remember the kid rapist that Kitty touched her at Target?
Was that number 500?
Yeah.
The kid rapist that looked exactly like you?
Yeah.
Except he turned out to be like 4'8" and Latino.
Where my sister was texting my wife like, hey, what was Howard doing on Saturday? I'm like, I hate you, sis.
Hide your kid, hide yourself.
Sister.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, God. Yeah, that's a bitch move, because like, if I saw that like someone looked like my brother and was raping and stuff, well, just diddling, not even raping, because raping's crossing a line, but just grabbing Kid Coolo, I'd be like, hey, man, they got you on camera. Like, I got some cash. You need to get out of here.
No, you immediately texted me the link when you saw it.
Yeah, yeah, because I wanted it to be
true. That's how
I
found out about it.
Yeah.
Because you texted me, and then my wife texted me asking me, like, what is your sister talking about?
Yeah. Oh, she didn't ask, like, how long have you been doing this?
What? She was just like, I don't believe it. And it's like...
I don't want to believe this about you. What did I do to drive you to it?
I'm like, Jen, you're worse than the people who mistake us at, like, Asian restaurants for working there. Like, I think I would prefer that to being accused of, like, you look a lot like a kitty toucher. I'd rather hear more like, hey, can you get me a refill? Like, much, much better. Way better.
If we took the show more seriously, we really should have done, like, just a 10 or 15 episode arc about that guy, like, trying to become prison pen pals with him and visiting him while he's locked up.
Except he's a midget. That's the worst part, because, like, they have one of those wide-angle cameras. That was a whole bit back then. It was, like, this wide-angle camera.
Yeah.
You can't really tell how tall he is.
It's what they shot all the Busta Rhymes videos with.
But I could, because I was looking at him. I'm like, I've been in that Target, which you kept trying to get me to go to before they busted the guy. You're like, hey, you want to go to Target?
Yeah.
No.
I wanted to set the guards on edge.
But no, like, I've been in that Target.
I didn't tell
that
you.
That fool
I
is
found
like,
a kid on Fiverr who was going to scream, he fingered me!
I would love to see that Fiverr profile.
You dodge. Yeah. I'm the finger kid.
Really hate someone? I will scream rape when I stand next to them in public.
Just like every post, every inch of that page. I don't actually let people rape me. Sorry. Internet is a cesspool.
I'm here to ruin people's lives.
I'm here to pretend I was raped. Big difference.
It is so good that you did not grow up at a time when the internet was at full force.
Oh, God, look at how Travis turned out.
Yeah.
God's sake. Yeah, I got the internet when I was like 14 or 15, and I'm already autistic.
Yeah. You were an early adopter.
No.
Is like the phrase that I've borrowed from today to apply to what you were like in high school.
I mean, I was fairly early for people of our age group, but I wasn't like dialing into like BBSs or whatever the hell they were called. I wasn't on like Prodigy and CompuServe. Like, I waited till AOL was in every house, and then I kind of had internet through that.
You were knee deep, man. Like, you,
I liked
you
it immediately.
Hard.
Yeah. I always have wanted to escape my life. Like, I'm really what I'm doing recently is just dipping my toe back into reality. Being like, oh, look at that hairline. Oh, look at that paunch. You know, like, oh, this is your job. You pay this for insurance and you get how much in return? Yeah, I'm coming to terms with everything that my life is. And it's taking a bit. Don't get me wrong. And there's still an hour or two a day of watching The Office and doing nothing.
But hour or two, everybody deserves.
Yeah.
So how are you going to save the rest of us? Like, what's the plan here? You're going
to... Oh, I'm trying to move to Canada, man. Once I get some real money, and I'm thinking Canada. The rest of you can burn.
Huh.
Wait.
Okay.
Wait. Did I mute that part? The rest of you can... I don't know. No, I don't know what is... This country seems so hopelessly broken.
I don't know. I think we might bounce back from this...
We will at some point, but you're talking cycles that will extend through the better part of our lives. Like, I think... Look at what has happened in under a century. Germany has gone from Hitler land to being the bastion of Western liberalism. That's nuts. That is nuts. And we are on a downswing right now. I don't think we've hit our bottom. If you think Trump is our bottom, it is not. And I'll say this right now because I'm gutless and I can't lose any listeners. I don't have anything against Trump voters. I truly don't. I don't like the blanket, they're racist. People vote for whatever the hell reason they want.
See, I like to put you in the category of Michael Moore prior to the election, where we do have... This is one of the great things that you... But there's one of the great things about you having this type of show is that we can go back and listen to the tape where you're like, nah, he's probably going to win. And everybody's like, you're ridiculous.
Yeah.
You got it on tape now, man. Like,
I know. It was great.
You were kind of a voice in the wilderness.
I have a 9-inch cock. I have a 9-inch cock. I have a 9-inch cock. Is that how it works? And this will just kick in come September or November? Okay. All
right. You weren't wishing for it. That's the thing. You're just like, ugh.
No, yeah, there's such an obvious enthusiasm gap. Like, everyone who was voting for Hillary, I'm sorry, it was like eating your vegetables. I voted for her. It was not as fun as voting for Barack. When you voted for Barack, you're like, oh, this is going to piss off some old white people. Oh, this is hilarious.
Whereas, like, voting for Trump was definitely like getting a car title loan where it's like, I got money today.
Yeah, you voted for Trump. You laughed about it the whole way there and the whole way back. You're like, guess what I did?
I don't care what the interest payments are. I got mine.
Exactly. The world's going to burn. This is hilarious. What's for dinner? That is what voting for Trump was. It was silly and stupid and fun. And now it's just kind of hitting the fan. And the people have voted for him for the most part. If you voted for him, you're either so far on that side that whatever he's doing, you're down with. Or you just wanted to see it all come tumbling down. And he's making that happen. You're like, what do I care? What do I care? I voted for the winner.
I mean, I don't know, man. This
makes it up for voting for Sanjaya.
It gets boring when you look at, like, global economics. You ever look at that? Like, GDP, rain, that bullcrap? It's just our country is supposed to be...
I watch GDP, but it's something very different.
Gay double penetration. Okay. Yeah. Sorry.
That's the little bubble that would pop up at the bottom of our show.
Just long story short, we have way more money than the rest of the world, man.
Yeah.
We have a ton of money in this country, and it just doesn't feel like that when you talk to the average American, you know?
No, a lot of this country is pretty much what I imagine Africa to be, minus vultures and, like, eye flies. Like, it's just people ODing on heroin instead. No, this country is, you're completely right, ridiculously wealthy. And, dude, I do all right for myself. I do more than all right for myself. And I look at the family, my family that I help with. It takes one or two bad breaks and I'm going to be broke. Me. And I hoard it, dude. I don't have a wife. I don't have a kid. I don't really do much car-wise. I've got a Honda Civic. It's the good Civic. I'll give myself that much. And, like, I'm only a couple bad beats away from it really hitting the fan. My uncle in Vegas right now, like, worked as a musician for I don't know how long, had a decent enough career. His health hit the fan. He's got, like, advanced Parkinson's now, so he can't ply his trade. I believe if you want to know where this country is right now, he is in a shared living facility where he's got a roommate. They're stripping away, like, pretty much every bit of loose change he has, and then he can either go through the equity in his house. We're talking several G's a month. This is just to stay alive, mind you. Like, he needs so much care.
Yeah.
And once he's done with his cash, if he does not agree to give away his house, pretty much to buy another, I don't know how many months at this place, which you're pretty much gambling and praying that you die before you run out of money. So, again, God bless America. he's now getting thrown back to his house. Just, this is a progressive disease. Nothing has gotten better in this man's life.
Right.
Nothing. He's just worse. And yet, 3, 4, 5 months ago, they're like, you're so sick, you have to go to this place. Now they're like, well, you're out of money, so you're all better. That's it.
Yeah.
And he's just sent to a house to die in this richest country.
Nah, man.
It's insanity. It's sick.
Here's the headline that I was trying to find. If you guys, for those who are willing to read HuffPost,
mm-hmm.
I remember reading this a few months ago, and it still sticks with me. Most Americans can't afford a minor emergency.
Yes.
Just 39% of Americans have enough money in savings to cover an unexpected $1,000 bill.
$1,000. $1,000.
40% of America.
That is so effed up.
Yeah.
40% cannot swing a grand.
But that's the thing. Like, right now, middle class means you're living paycheck to paycheck.
Yes.
That you're actually making payments paycheck
middle to paycheck. Middle class now is what, like, low as hell class was in the 50s and 60s. Like, people don't want to hear this when they think about... I'm trying to remember. Do you ever read about, like, what GM and Ford used to give their employees in the day?
Well, like, that's part of why, like, their cars suck now, because the pensions they got to pay out.
Yeah, well, all right. That's a little too extreme. But these guys were getting... You had money for one dude, just your dad, to pay for the entire family with the three kids.
Yeah.
You got, one salary, like, 3 weeks kids. Of vacation. I mean, this country's so broken. And if you really think that, like, getting rid of a bit of taxation so the rich can get richer is going to fix it, like, what happened to you? I know what happened to you. The public schooling that you agreed to slash funding to betrayed you. And you're dumb. And it's showing. That's what happened to you. And it's like, the left is effed up too. I'm sorry. Like, do you ever read really what Nader has to say about the left? And, like, how once they agreed to take corporate money, I think in the early 80s, like, they kind of lost their soul once they stepped away from the unions and crap like that.
Yeah.
Just, I'm shocked that anyone would be anti-union, because that's just purely falling for propaganda. Yeah, the union shakes you down for some dues and crap like that, but they're what got you your weekend. They're what got you your vacation. They're what got you your paycheck. There's a chick I used to be friends with. Her dad was, like, in an electrical union or something in Delaware.
Yeah.
That dude, like, there just weren't enough jobs. Like, he was working pretty much every other week, and yet he was able to take care of this family of two plus the mom.
Yeah.
Just via that. Just via that. Because the union had his back. And everyone's like, union workers are lazy. Guess what? You can be that lazy union worker, you dumb son of a bitch, if you play your cards right. Why does everyone, when it comes time to run their mouth, why are they the dynamo? Why are they the captain of industry who thinks, like, they stand against the lazy working man? You are the lazy working man, you hungover dumb S. Good God almighty. Are you working for someone right now? You're the lazy one. That's it. That's it. If you are working for anyone but yourself, you are being hustled. That's it.
Yeah, like, nobody's making money off you unless, yeah, you're getting burned in one way or another.
Yes.
Like, they absolutely can't afford to give you a raise. Will they? Not if they can replace you with someone who do the same crappy job that you're doing.
Yeah. And it's all, dude, it's all moving toward technology taking more and more of these jobs. As the population grows, technology takes more and more jobs, and the wealth gets more and more concentrated. Because I might have money, Howard. I don't have robots do my job money.
Yeah.
Like, at some point, the robots are going to, there's going to be a drone that flies to your door and lets you in. That's when I'm screwed. Or when they just do away with keys and you get into your house with your smartphone. Shut up. I don't want to will that into existence. Let that happen 50 years from now when I'm dead. God damn, if the South especially doesn't live to vote against its own self-interest. Good Jesus, man. It drives me berserk.
Yeah, I mean, So what do you want people to do? Vote for you? Is that the next
vote
plan?
Vote me for demagogue. Just then you come, you plead your case. If I agree with it, we're cool. I'll do some Solomonic wisdom. You know, we'll cut the baby in half. Whoever cries, they get to keep the baby. Except I'll have cut the baby in half by that point. Old twist, new twist on an old favorite.
Well, at that point, it's just about who doesn't want to go hungry, man. That night.
I wish. Exactly. Baby. Rotisserie baby. Boston baby market. I don't know, man. I want to be able to say to people, like, go with the left, but the left's pretty damn broken. I love that girl that got elected in New York. What, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez or whatever the hell?
Ocasio-Cortez, yeah.
Oh, God. First of all, I want to ball her. Oh, that mouth. I want to get lost in that mouth. Good Lord.
Isn't she a mom? Technically a MILF then, right?
Oh, is she?
Yeah.
Ah! Oh.
You're welcome.
Son of a bastard. Why'd you do that?
You're welcome.
She's a mom?
I think so.
That's not good. That's not a good look on anyone.
No, I mean, that's like why right now people don't understand what's going on, because as people talked about last election, there's an overlap between people who are going to vote for Bernie or who did vote for Bernie in the primaries that ended up voting for Trump, just because there is a desire to have seemingly authentic politicians, people who whatever they're talking about is a fairly good indicator of how they'll behave. Like,
if you vote for authenticity, when someone's authentically a turd, I think there was a New York Times cartoon, or maybe it was a New Yorker cartoon. I don't know. Does the Times do cartoons? I'm a rube. What do I know? But there was a wolf just saying, "I am going to eat you." And one sheep turns to the other and says, "Well, at least he tells it like it is."
Yeah. I don't know, man. It's just like it's rough for people who never travel to the middle of the country. I'll say that. I've spent a lot of time in red parts of
You've
America.
Been around, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, don't
I
get me wrong.
I in Ohio.
Given the choice of where I'd live in North America, it would be Toronto. I've been saying that for almost a decade now. But at any rate, yeah, I've spent some time in flyover country. And I mean, if you live in a city and you never travel to that part of the country,
mm-hmm.
you have no familiarity with how screwed people are in flyover country.
Absolutely.
Because there's not a promise from like any politician in Washington that really reaches them. I think that's the reason we ended up where we are today. It's just, well, you don't really matter. At the end of the day, we're going to do what we do. And you're just going to have to deal with it because
oh, look, another
you don't
church.
Matter.
Yeah, that's it.
I mean, yeah, it's just like there's like who's bringing manufacturing back, doesn't it? Anyway.
Well, that's what we've learned, I think, as well. Well, let's be honest. They, quote unquote, got that carrier plant back. And then it just closed, four months later?
That's the global economy, man. I mean, it's just like, we're not, how are we going to maintain wages here when, like, China can basically offer workers who are cheaper? I think this is the conundrum we had for 50 years that no president can fix. It's just, our wages were really high relative to the rest of the world.
Exactly. And now that it's all liquid, we can't compete. I'll give you, you know what it is?
Well, like, we have to devalue the dollar and, like, our economy basically can't stay king forever is the fear that we're all in denial about, it seems, which is why we're in this position of like tariffs left and right. It's a desperation move, I feel.
Yeah, are you kidding? Hail Mary is all hell. And it's not going to work at all.
Yeah, no, it's just accelerating the process.
Yeah. Like, it's serious.
We're losing goodwill. Like, goodwill matters in economics, man, and like we're losing it.
Oh, it's gone. Are you kidding me? What has happened in the last year with this country, the last year and a half, has undone what we became since World War II.
You know what? I got hope, though. You don't? Because what I learned from Obama is this. Across the globe, everyone wants a cool black friend. Yeah. And so right after W, Obama just restored global interest in the United States. I'm like, oh, yeah. I want to play ping pong against some college kids with Barack.
Yeah. So you're saying like Kendrick Lamar 2020?
Yeah, not Kanye.
No, not Kanye. No, he's got the Kardashian stank on.
Yeah. So you can definitely like find people that people want to be friends with outside of this country. real celebrities. None of this like B-rate like reality show stuff. Like, get somebody, man. Like, I'm deeply upset that Arnold wasn't able to run. Like, I look back now at the fact that he was interested in running for president, and I thought it was crazy.
Drives
me berserk. At it.
You kidding me?
Oh man, Arnold could have been like president of the United States. Ugh, that would have been great.
Yeah, I wouldn't have even cared if he drove us into the damn toilet. It still is Arnold. I would have been like, yeah, but did you see Terminator 2?
You're terminated.
Yeah. Got goosebumps. Just yeah. For that. Come on, man. Like, yeah, I would have been so down for that. Even the California thing. Like, I mean, he tanked that place in the end, or at least it tanked under him. I mean, Jerry Brown's doing a great job with it again, apparently. I don't know.
I don't know, man. Like, California's rough. Dude, it's no, like, big. There's so many states that are going to go under if the stock market tanks again.
Mm-hmm.
Stock market's never been higher, right? There are still states that can't pay their state pensions. What's going to happen? What's going to happen?
When it hits, yeah.
Because, like, once the market goes down again, there are states that are, like, on the brink of default still, as high as the market is. Yeah, good luck to the people of Connecticut and Illinois. It's going to bring us all down.
It's probably going to all fall apart. That's what I'm thinking.
Nah, because everybody still uses the dollar, man. That's what I'm saying. Like, when you look at how the world works, like, they're all dollar dependent. So they're working on trying to get away from it right now because they're pissed at us right now. So I think it's a dumb move on our part where we're alienating all of our allies simultaneously or people at least dependent on the dollar. I'm like, we could have all tagged up on China first. That would have been a smart move. Why wouldn't we do that? Why wouldn't we work with Europe to tag up? Like, everybody could have just been like, China, you suck.
Yeah, we would have been like, they're not even the hot Asian women. Stick it to them.
But no, like, we're going after everybody at the same time as if, like, the U.S. can win on all fronts simultaneously. It's a dumb way to wage a trade war.
Pathetic.
I'll put it that way.
Anyone who thinks we can. Anyone who thinks we can take on all comers. What is this? What is this, 1945? Come on. No. Come on, man. Good God.
Even back then, man, like, we took on Germany by, like, working with others to beat up on one opponent.
Exactly.
That's how it works. We weren't alone in that war, believe it or not, people.
No, I mean, we did more against Japan than we did Germany. Germany was how much of that just Russia? You know what I mean? Like,
well, they were getting beat up on both sides. Yeah. The British were involved, too, so.
But let that be a lesson to you. If anyone, is thinking, if it comes down to war, how easy or difficult war is, Germany's the size of goddamn Texas. Texas was able to do that.
Yeah.
That's it. Texas, man.
Would you ever move to Texas? They're doing all right.
Ugh. I don't know.
They're making mad money down there. They're making money move. Cardi B, check out Texas. Lower taxes.
I can't wait till it flips.
Oh, man. Texas?
Texas is going to go blue sooner than later, man. Yeah. H-Town. Do it for us, man.
I've been to H-Town recently. It's getting nice, man.
Yeah, I mean, it's our fourth biggest city? Yeah.
Nah, it's because I live in Texas 3 years. I live in Austin, which everybody always says is not real Texas. But I'm sorry. Like, Texas is Texas. Like, I saw.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, Austin is not Brooklyn. Like,
yeah,
it's
get out of here with that.
It's a weird take on Texas, but it's Texas.
100%. So, yeah, no, it's definitely a state where Ted Cruz might get beat this year.
Oh, that Beto O'Rourke or whatever.
Yeah.
Beto, whatever the hell his name was. Weird first name.
No, man, we'll see what happens there. He shouldn't have a chance, but it's going to be surprisingly close, it seems. So
I don't know, man. I don't know. On one hand, I want to say let it all burn, but I got people I care about that are still here.
You spent like 3 weeks figuring out how you're going to fix everything, man. So, like,
yeah,
you still haven't told. You're complaining again.
Oh, I lied. I'm just on season 7 of The Office again. They should have canceled it with Goodbye, Michael.
This was like a huge fake out, man. You made it sound like you had figured out all the world's problems.
No, I'm just back to bitching about it like I'm 16.
Okay.
That's something.
Great.
Yeah, a couple of years, I'll be 20. And then I'll
all right.
I'll something for you.
I'm registering you for like some
sex
kind
offender.
Of candidate.
Okay. Do it.
You're running for something.
Something I'd actually like, though. Like Poon Master Chief or something.
Well, but the nice thing about being elected, it's like a union job. Like, you don't have to do anything. Just because you're clerk of court doesn't mean you have to organize anything.
Okay, yeah, run me.
All right. Good. Good.
That'd be great.
You're welcome. It's like a union job, but better.
I like that. I actually have to perform on my job. We can wrap it up. You need to head home. We're going to do some homework before next week's episode. There's a comedy special I guess it's not all comedy, but it's somewhat comedic, by Hannah Gadsby, who's a Tasmanian comedian. I'm only 3 weeks late to the party here, so literally everyone has heard this by now. But she did a special called Nanette that is a mix of comedy and monologue and drama and all that crap. And part of me wants to like it, part of me wants to hate it, given what I've heard about it. So I'm going to try to watch it on Netflix. Anyone who's listening to this at home, watch it on Netflix. I believe, it's a one-hour special. Howard, you've actually seen it.
I have seen it, yeah.
So let's all watch that. And then for next week's, we'll discuss. We'll do that.
Yeah, we'll give it a shot.
Yeah, I'm probably not going to do it, but we'll see.
We're not all laughs on this show, you know.
No. Oh, I know. Oh, I know.
So how can you hate on somebody who's on Netflix doing a mix of comedy and not comedy? That's what I'm saying.
Her short hair.
I will admit, when I saw the little thumbnail, I was like, when did John get a special?
Yeah. Oh, God. When did Mark Cuban get glasses? All right. Well, hell, let's wrap it up. Howard, thanks for being here.
Yeah, my pleasure. Yeah. We'll get you your Netflix special soon enough. You better be good. I don't want to hear none of this Nanette crap.
Too. Yeah. Nanette.
Nanette the sequel.
Nanette. And, I'll be uploading this, and hopefully next week it's going to be an actual, video content episode. This one was, again, just recorded around my house, but wanted to do something, because otherwise it's going to be 4 weeks without an episode. That would have been a hell of a streak for me. All right. Bye.
Till next time.